A very good evening. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Southeast Hebrew Congregation in White Oak, Silver Spring, Maryland. Yuma, Nun Beis Amud Beis. Yuma, 52B, pagination, page 104. We're on approximately the 10th line of the page, starting the Mishnah. We're describing how the Kohen Gadol is proceeding with his right and left hand holding the fire pan in one, the kaf, the ladle, with the ktoris in the other, and he's moving through the Kodesh up to the Kodesh Kadashim, where he's going to go in and present the ktoris on the coals by the Aron in the Kodesh Kadashim.
You are now muted. You are now unmuted.
So the Mishnah says, Hachitzona, the outer curtain, and Rashi tells us that we're following the opinion of the Rabbanon in the previous Mishnah that there are two curtains. So the outer one, Hoysaprufa min hadarom, it's propped open on the south. So that's the side that has the menorah. That's where it's propped open. And then he would walk through this like alleyway, one amma in width. Upanimis, and the inner one, min hatzafon, was propped open on the northern side. That's the side of the shulchan. So he would have his way in, but it wasn't like the two curtains were open in the same spot, because we didn't really want people to be able to look straight into the Kodesh Kadashim. Mahalach Beinayim, he walks between
these two curtains. The curtain, so to speak?
Not under. Well, maybe under. It's propped open, presumably with enough height. The description is that it's a 30 amma height. So if they propped it open a certain amount, they could be very generous, Rashi says, with a golden clip.
The Kodesh HaKadosh?
Correct. Into the Kodesh Kadashim. Into the Kodesh Kadashim.
From the Kodesh?
Yes. There's this massive curtain.
Oh, and on one side?
On one side it's propped open like this. And on the other side, when he gets to the other side, he's going to find it propped open.
The second curtain.
As well, the second curtain. So like this, it's open here, he walks down the middle, and then he's a, whatever symbol you want to call it, you want to call it a Z, whatever, right? But he's going to make his way through. Mahalach Beinayim, he walks through in between these two curtains, and Shemagia Litzafon, until he gets to the north side. Higia Litzafon, when he gets to the north, Hofich Panav Ledorom, he turns around. Now he's facing south again. Mahalech lismolo ima paroches, he walks with the paroches on his left. He walks with the paroches, like really close to it. Achu magia la'aron, until he gets to the aron. He gia la'aron, and he gets to the aron. Nosenes hamachta ben shnei habadim, he puts the fire pan between the poles of the aron.
On the ground.
On the ground. Tzavar es haketores al gabe gecholim. And then he piles the ktores onto the coals, and there was a special art to doing it so that he shouldn't burn himself. V'nismale kol habayis kulo ashan, and the entire area becomes filled with smoke, resulting from the ktores burning.
The male ashan increases the smoke or decreases the smoke?
Nismale, it fills, from the word male. The entire area is filled with smoke as a result of the ktoris burning. And it was good smelling. It was ktoris. It's besamim. I mean, it ensconces you in its magic. You know, like, wow. But that was the savoda. Okay? Let's just finish the Mishnah. Yotzo bolo bederach beis knisaso. He would walk out the way he came in. Omispalot tefila katzara beves hachitzon. And in the outside, he would spend time and would daven a short tefillah. No one was allowed to be in the Kodesh. And he had his private audience at that point, he davened. V'lo yamayach b'tefilaso, and he would not do a lengthy tefillah, shelo lahavis es Yisrael, so as not to worry the Jewish people who were waiting for him to come out safely, and they were worried. So, but he would daven. It was a special moment. He would daven, and there's a special tefillah incorporated as to what he should daven for. Good. So, let's continue with the Gemara. B'maya skinon, the Gemara asks a very provocative question. What is the case that the Mishnah was describing? Ilema b'mikdash rishon. If you're describing the first Beis HaMikdash, mi'ava parochas, there was no curtain. So our Mishnah cannot be describing the first Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash did not have a curtain there. It had a wall. Amatraxin. It had an amo, thick wall. So our Mishnah is not the first Beis HaMikdash. Ela b'mikdash sheni. So you want to tell me you're describing the second Beis HaMikdash? Mi'ava aron. There was no aron. Isn't that great? Where it says they hid the aron at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, the aron was hidden. There was no aron there.
And this was not done in the Mishkan? Right.
Okay, that's good, but I mean, that's an interesting question. Would this be describing the Mishkan? But I think the Gemara understood that if the Mishnah is describing it, it's describing something that happened in Yerushalayim.
Later.
When did this Mishnah get authored? It would have gotten authored somewhere during a Yerushalayim time period. Like, what are you describing exactly? Okay, drop down after the discussion that the Aron got hidden. So it's about 10 lines from the bottom in the middle of a line. Le'olam. Le'olam b'mikdash sheni. We're dealing with the second Beis HaMikdash. Umay hi gia la'aron, and what does it mean? He reached the aron. Mekom aron. The place of the aron, but the actual aron wasn't there. Okay. Vaktani nosan asamachta levin shnei abadim. He put the fire pan between the poles of the aron. Answers the Gemara. Ema. What you have to say, what you have to understand here, is kibein shnei habadim, as if the two poles were there. Now, there's a very, very special style to learning a Gemara, which I think applies here in a beautiful way. You could learn this Gemara. Oh, okay, it's like. L-I-K-E, you know, like. There was no aron, there were no poles, it's like. To me, that's a very unsatisfying answer. Until you realize that there's a discussion in the Gemara in Brachas, in the Mishnah in Brachas, when you daven, you're supposed to envision yourself facing to Yerushalayim. And if you're there, you're facing the Kodesh Kadoshim. And if you're there, the wording is, you should envision yourself as if you're davening, facing the Kaporis. There is a concept that you are supposed to be envisioning in your mind as if you're there. I ask you, the Kohen Gadol who is there, but the Aron's unfortunately not there, what is he supposed to be doing? He's supposed to be envisioning as if it's there. Correct. And when he puts the machta down in his mind, he's putting it down in front of the aron. Just like when you daven, you're davening towards the Kodesh Kadoshim. But he's there, but he's supposed to picture it. The Ba'adam are here. They're not here. Unfortunately, they're not here. But it's as if they're here. I'm doing the avoda as if I'm doing it in front of the aron. And you go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah was simply doing what the Kohen Gadol was doing. He was putting the machta in front of the aron.
Even though it wasn't there.
Even though the aron was absent.
The virtual aron.
Correct. Very good. Comment. We have a new insight over here. into why he's carrying the fire pan in his right hand. If you remember, we had a discussion that he's really supposed to carry the main item, which is the ketores, the spices. That ladle should be in his right hand to give it prestige. Why are you carrying the fire pan in the right hand? And we said, because typically it's heavier. And we also said, because it's hot. And we made an assumption that something that's hot is easier to carry in your stronger hand because you could withstand greater heat. You have a greater pain threshold in your stronger hand. That was the assumption. Hot means harder to carry. You have a whole different issue over here that makes it really beautiful and amazing. If he was supposed to be walking, as the Mishnah describes it, im haparochas, his left side is with the parochas. He's literally walking alongside. You have a fire hazard here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a parochas. These coals were hot. He can't carry them in his left hand. He's carrying them in his right hand. I don't know if that's what was meant when it said cham, but it's certainly an observation to keep in mind. A fascinating concept once you see this Mishnah. Yeshua Koach, thank you for joining.